गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्तुतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वेदान्तडिण्डिमास्तत्त्वम् एकमुद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्तात् तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम् Let's start with meditation again today. Sit yourself comfortably. Can take a few long deep breaths. I follow a few long deep breaths with my full attention. I become fully aware and present. I'm fully aware present. There's no other place for me, no other time for me. Sadi Guru Shankara pointed out that you're the tenth, the story of the tenth boy. There were so many worries because this one counted everybody but not themselves. Not himself, thought that somebody is missing. All the worries and problems just due to that misconception, didn't count himself. So when I look at myself, usually I'll take myself as this individual. There's the body. There's the mind, emotions, a lot of my whole memory, expectations, possessions, family, etc., etc. All these I count. And by counting just these, all the worries are there, all the concerns are there. But once I include myself, I, the conscious being, the conscious being as being the primary. Just as the boys' problems went away the moment they understood what happened, all the problems go away. The body will still go through its ups and downs, its cycle. It will eventually disintegrate. All the other issues of life will still be there. But having brought into the picture, I, the conscious being, all these become secondary. Since I know I am, I'm Satchit, the conscious being, the unchanging presence. The other factors are depending on this, not vice versa. When I don't bring the conscious being into the picture, then I seem to be this limited person, and this limited person will always go through all the issues. I is the Satchit existence, and consciousness seem to be dependent on the body-mind. I need to maintain it, I need to survive. But once it's put in its proper place, I am the conscious being. And within the conscious being, the body appears, mind, etc. Then these temporary factors are temporary, but the conscious being is constant. This is akin to the character in the movie. The character in the movie will never be at peace. There will always be some drama happening. But the actor is unaffected by all of the drama the character goes through. Once I bring the actor into the picture, all the drama becomes mithya. Once I bring myself, the Atma, into the picture, all the other attributes I take upon myself become mithya. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So anticipating something, this next verse has come up, next verse here. Let's read and then discuss that. So this is number 76. Upaukshyau padhikan doshan, upekshyau padhikan doshan, grihyante vishaya yatha, grihyante vishaya yatha, upeksha drishyam yad brahma, upeksha drishyam yad brahma, iti vedanta dindimaha, iti vedanta dindimaha, upeksha upadhikan doshan, grihyante vishaya yatha, upeksha drishyam yad brahma, iti vedanta dindimaha. In appreciating materials, like sugar is brought in as a commentary, in appreciating materials like sugar, we ignore the shape in which it is obtained. In the same way, declares Vedanta, one has to appreciate the underlying Brahman beyond what is seen on the surface. So the previous story, the previous verse, which was pointing out the story of the tenth boy, the classical story in Vedanta. Then there again, it was counting, we miss out of the 10 boys, and when the one counts 9 because forgets to count himself. So here we said same thing, I count my upadhis, maybe there's 6, I'll say there's 6, right? The panchakosha and atma, and I forget the atma. So what happens is, okay, so I count Atma, now there's 6, so what's the big deal? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I forget to count Atma, I count 6, now there's 6. So, okay, why did that solve the problem? In our meditation, we pointed that out, because the 10 boys, right, the 10 boys, then there are 10 of them, and they're all equal in that way. But actually, they're equal, but on the other hand, I see the world and I see 9 in front of me, I forget the first person. Without the first person, there's no second person, right? There's no second person. So in this case, the subject is forgotten. So here, subject also forgotten. And the object depends on subject, you can say. But here also, the different, also it points out the difference then here when we're going, which we just looked at in the meditation. Yes, I forget this one, and these aren't of the same level of reality. That's what's being pointed out. Just like in the meditation, we said actor and the character in the movie, which is the actor is Satyam, the character is Mithya. Because without the actor, where's the character? Can there be a character? No. Dependent existence. So like this. So this is one of the reasons probably why this verse was brought here after, because whenever we take these texts, there's a reason for order, reason for everything. But let's look in detail, though. That's just one of the aspects of this. So first of all, says one upeksha upadhikan, upadhi. What is the upadhi? So upadhi, a lot of translations, they say limiting adjunct. But limiting adjunct doesn't really give the full meaning of it, because it seems like something is, one thing is limiting the other. What it is, upa-adhiyate, something that remains close. Because it remains close, it seems to limit the other object in one way or the other. By lending an attribute, you limit to the other. And one of the classical examples given for this is a crystal. Let's say I have a crystal here, and I will take it and I'll hold it so it'll be in front of my shirt. Now the crystal will look like it's white, right? Then I'll take my cup and drink some warm water And then because the crystal is in front of it, it'll seem to be this dark red or dark pink, whatever color this is, right? So it will seem to lend an attribute. Lending an attribute means limiting, right? An attribute limits, because I'll say, okay, the crystal is red, meaning it's not blue, it's not green, it's not yellow. Now you're limited by color. When it doesn't have a color, it's not limited by color. But now when you saw the color, now it's limited by color. Now, did it really become red? Did it really become white? No, it didn't. Just because of proximity to another object, it seems to take on that color. So this is what the upadhi is. By remaining near something, it seems to lend its attributes to the other thing. So it seems to limit it like this. Okay? So this is what the upadhi is. And here it says upadhikan dorshan, right? Upeksha, upadhika, same thing. So it's not just something else. Just a suffix which doesn't change the meaning. Upadhikan dorshan. So dosha, the blemish. So the blemish meaning the limits. That's what the blemish means here. So you have, for example, you have a pot. Now, the pot, if you keep onions in the pot, or garlic even better, if you keep garlic in the pot, after a while, the smell, you take the garlic out, for weeks on end, the smell will stay there. Very hard to get rid of the smell, right? So it still smells like garlic. Now, was the space affected by the garlic? The space will say, oh no, I don't like this garlic smell. Please keep it away from me. I'm a yogi, I don't have onion and garlic, it's tamasic. The space will be unaffected. Instead, you keep some very nice incense in that container for some time. Oh, it'll have beautiful smell in this, right? Nag champa, or, you know, chameli or something. Oh, beautiful smell. Now, you'll smell, oh, very nice. Now, was the space affected? Does the space now become fragrant? No, because the space doesn't have fragrance. The space is untouched by fragrance. That space is it's within the air in there, or probably not just the air, because you keep it open, you know, wash it out. The air is it's not the same air, but it somehow, I never studied chemistry, so I won't know exactly, but somehow some molecules stuck to it and, you know, hard to get them off of the walls of the pot or something of the sort. So the upadhi is, the space seems to be limited by the pot. So some attribute of the pot, I think, affects the space there, the limitedness and the odor and this. But really, it doesn't touch, the space is totally unaffected by it. But now the blemish of it, the smell within it, I'll say it's a blemish because I'll say, oh, that doesn't smell good. And again, somebody will love garlic smell. They love to cook with garlic. But this incense you put there, really don't like the smell. That's why it's a blemish, because a blemish means it has some limitations. Somebody who likes them won't bring these things. So in any case, we said the space isn't affected. The upadhi does not affect it. What is being affected? It's what is being seemingly affected. That's why the term limiting adjunct, which is used a lot of the time, can be very much misleading, because I might think that, okay, Atma is in the body. It's really limited by the body. It's really limited by the mind, limited by the koshas. I have to get the Atma out of the koshas, pull it out, break the koshas. No, nothing has to be. Just like the space doesn't have to be freed from the pot, the space is never limited by the pot. It's just through understanding. Through understanding, I see Atma is not limited by these. So that's the misconception I have to be careful with, okay? Because that's that term that has been brought up. Again, any term will have its limitation too, because words are limited. So limiting adjunct probably can be used also, but it just in general, it's as an explanation, it's a more of a limited explanation. So I have to be a bit careful with that. Now what happens then also is, let's say you have the mirror, right? I have a mirror, and when I see the mirror, I can see because light is reflected by the mirror, right? If there's not light isn't reflected by the mirror, I can't see anything in there. So now the light is reflected, and then things are visible in the mirror like this. Then I can say, oh, I look very, you know, very wonderful. What happens is, unfortunately, usually I think, the general thing is if somebody's already looking in the mirror, usually they won't say, oh, I'm so pretty in this, right? Unfortunately, that's how it should be. Oh, I'm wonderful, but we the negative side. Well, it's okay. Well, if it was a little bit more like this. Oh, that's why, you know, makeup. There's a joke they say, makeup to cover the breakup, right? But in any case, that's totally aside. That nothing to do with this. Just totally went out on tangent. But the important thing is the mirror reflects the light, right? Mirror is reflecting the light. Now, the light then is not, right? It's the mirror is upadi for the light because the mirror doesn't have light of its own, right? If you turn off the light in the room, or if nighttime it's dark, can the mirror reflect anything? Nope, because it just borrows the light. So it doesn't have its own light. So upadi for the light if you want. So very similar way, my mind is here, and my mind now is feeling very good and thinking wonderful uplifting thoughts in this. Right? Then a little later, somebody says something. Oh, now I feel very bad. I feel very bad. Oh, why did I do like this? I hurt them. Now I feel remorse or something. I feel negative. Now, it's just like I have a large mirror that's very clear. And then I have a small mirror, which doesn't reflect very clearly or well. But they're both upadis for the light. That's the mind, state of mind, but the same light is reflected in them. The light doesn't belong to the mind, right? The awareness, the consciousness doesn't belong to the mind, belongs to Atma, the reflected consciousness. Remember, Pratibimba Chaitanyam, we called it. We also called, other term we used for Pratibimba Chaitanyam is one, or we said reflected consciousness, RC. There was another sensor term for it. There's Pratibimba Chaitanya, and there is, other word isn't coming to my mind now. Not coming to my mind, no worries, like this. But in any case, so it's reflected. So that's where we confuse between the upadhi and between the upadhi and upadeya, which is limited by it. That confusion, that's the issue. Because we say, okay, the light is just light. This is the upadhi. Or even space is just space. The upadhi doesn't, the enclosure doesn't affect it. So there it's not hard for me to see, understand how the pot is in the space. The pot doesn't affect the space. But then I, the conscious being, am not affected by the body-mind complex, that's the upadhi. That's what we want to look at. These are examples for this. This is what has to be looked at closely. This is actually a way to get to this is Dhrikdrishya Viveka, where I say, okay, there is observer and observed. Whatever is observed isn't the observer. So there's the body, feeling good or feeling some pain, whatever it feels, I'm aware of it. So there's what I'm aware of, and there's I who is aware of it. Two different things, right? The body isn't aware of itself. I'm aware of the body, right? You say, oh, my hand is aware of itself. My foot is aware. No. So same way, the body isn't aware of, I'm aware of the body. So there's their difference. And then, so I'm the one who's aware, and the body is. So there's consciousness and the awareness. And I'm aware of the thought in my mind. I'm aware of the uplifting feeling. I'm aware of the negative feeling, right? I'll say, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling happy. Meaning, I'm aware of the feeling which I call happiness. I'm aware of the feeling which I call sadness. right? I'm aware of the state of mind I call dullness. I'm aware of the state of mind I call excitedness, like this. So here, so there's a subtle difference that I'm aware and what I'm aware of. Once one looks closely, does this viveka, looks closely, then you see there are two, first I have to split, they're the two different things. Split by understanding, not by actually spilling it. Just like the pot and the space in it, I can understand they're two separate things. That the pot isn't affected by the space. Same way, you know, the light and the mirror, I know the light and mirror are two different things. I don't have to separate them physically. So I don't separate, and I can't separate physically. I can't separate the awareness in the body or the mind because the awareness is always there. How are you going to separate? Just like separate the pot from the space. Put the space on one side, pot on the other side. Let's see you do it. A nice exercise. Impossible, because the space is everywhere. So impossible, awareness is everywhere. So, but as an exercise, from understanding perspective, I know they're different. From understanding perspective, I know I, the conscious being, the observer, is not the body-mind complex, like this. Then once I see these two, then I learn to own up to one compared to the other, because I have a confusion. First, let me see the two. Then I can't be both, right? I'm not both. Then I own up to I'm the conscious being. And actually, there's the whole text called Driktisha Viveka, which discusses exactly this, which, you know, which is what I'm very much considering to do in January. Linda, we didn't do Driktisha Viveka when you were coming for class, right? No, we didn't. Because my thought is, which I'll send email about, is to do this and then later in the year do the Keno Upanishad. Because Driktisha Viveka, exactly what I discussed now, really in detail looks into it to help for us to help to clarify for very clearly. Then the Keno Upanishad, which is a very advanced Upanishad, then that one, when Driktisha Viveka is more clear, Keno Upanishad is more, you know, a little easier, like this. So that's one reason why this order is probably be good. But in any case, so in this way, between myself, the conscious being, and the upadhi, the body mind is upadhi, like this. Now, the thing is, the blemishes then belong to the upadhi, right? The body feeling good or not feeling good, feeling heavy, feeling light, right? This, that belongs to the body, not to the consciousness, right? Just like the light on the one mirror and light on the other, you know, on the clear mirror, light on the all foggy mirror, light is the same. The difference is in the mirror, not in the light. The space in the two different jars, the stinky one, the one with the nice smell, space is the same. The difference is just the upadhi, not the space isn't touched. Same way my mind is feeling good, my mind feeling bad. That belongs to the mind, the upadhi, not to the consciousness. I'm aware of this state of mind, I'm aware of that state of mind. I'm aware of a noisy mind, it's very busy and running around here, there, rajasic. I'm aware of a very quiet mind. I'm meditating nicely. Oh, mind is so quiet. I'm aware of a quiet mind, right? The mind is quiet. I'm aware of the quiet mind. I identify with the quiet mind. Then the mind gets a little busy. Now I feel very bad. Oh, what happened to my meditation? It's gone, right? Well, I'm aware. If I take a step back, I was aware of the quiet mind. Now I'm aware of the mind not as quiet. Then if I'm seeing it from that perspective, that they're both part of the meditation because I'm learning that I'm the awareness behind the mind. If I identify with the mind, then meditation has to be a specific state, and then it's much harder like this to maintain. And then there is also, I'm a, you know, punya papa, right? Oh, this thing came to me, meaning I did some good thing in the past. I'm very healthy and good family, and everything's going okay, meaning there's some punya, meaning there's some merit, right? Then I do some things and I feel very bad. Oh, why did I do this? It wasn't right. I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to surely get some sin from it, meaning papa, something's going to, I'm going to have to do some, repent for it in this, right? So But that doesn't belong to the Atma, that still belongs to the individual, to the Jiva. Because it belonged to Atma, now Atma is limited, right? How can Atma be limited by this? Again, it's the foul smell and the good smell, not belonging to Atma, because then you're limiting Atma, like limiting the space. So Punya Papa, the sin merit, this belongs to the individual, to the Jiva, not to the Atma. Belongs to the Upadhi, right? Somebody is a prisoner because they did something, they did some crime, so they have to serve some years in jail. And some other person is living very healthy, good life and enjoying because they're doing doing things very honestly, very caring in this. Now that's the difference, is Upadhi, not the Atma, the difference between them. Because any limitation that can't belong to Atma, like this. So this is important to note, to look at. Now one other thing is this, is as long as I'll take myself as Upadhi, I will see others as Upadhi too. Right? I see myself as Upadhi as a person, I see you as a person as well, like this, as an individual. And whatever attributes I identify with the Upadhi, I will look at the Upadhi of others too. Like for instance, I'll say I'm American and they are non-Americans, right? Upadhi. In the news, it'll be farther down and small that there was an accident and 50 people were killed, and it'll be on the second, third page, smaller article. But then 100 people were killed. But then it'll be front page, 10 people were killed and 2 were Americans. Front page, big and big. In US, because Upadhi, because identifying as American, so like this, right? Like this. So I see like this. Or I see as, the moment I identify with something like this, then there's Upadhi. I remember, not just a little while ago, there was, I think it was World Cup, I think so, in cricket. And United States has nothing to do with cricket. But a group of Indians that moved here, that became American citizens, played there. One or two played professionally years back in India. And they kind of got into the whatever next round. So it's a big thing. Of course, most of us didn't hear it in the news in this, but Indians are very big on cricket. So it was a big thing. And then, of course, a lot of Indian people that I know, then they had a problem. Okay, a problem, because now there's a conflict, Upadhi conflict. Because imagine that, you have two relatives that are competing for something, same thing. Oh, give me your vote, right? Cheer for me. What are you going to do? So here, what are they going to do? Who are they going to root for? I people that said to me, I said, you're lucky. You get two votes. You're lucky. You get to enjoy two of them. But in any case, because India is one of the top cricket teams in the world, like this. So in any case, so again, you identify the country, identify with their sports team. Upadhi now identify that person is fan for this, not for this. Previous place I worked, there was somebody who was a baseball fan. And so at the time, Giants, San Francisco Giants, they won the championships, right? And then I said, and he's a big, he likes sports, he likes baseball. I said, oh, are you going to go to the parade and this? He said to me, I'm an A's fan, because A's is in Oakland. I think they're also leaving Oakland. Poor Oakland. But in any case, I said, yeah, but San Francisco won, you're not going to go. And he looked at me and said, I'm an A's fan. So you see, separate like this. Then I say, then this is one thing I very much appreciated, where when Kamala Harris was running, when she was asked about, especially about race, she just did not talk about it. Nope. Because why see everybody's people in this? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Race, gender, this? What difference? People, and that's it. So very nice. I very much appreciated the very, very nice attitude like this. So in any case, in this way, whatever I identify, I'll see that around me. When I drop that, where the differences I won't see like that. So this is, the more I drop them, my identification with that, I thin it out, the more it'll be easy, the more I won't see others like that. The more I identify something, I'll see that around me too. That's how I will see it. So that's an important thing for me to learn to look beyond the upadhi, because the thing is, that's a good measure in this way. So in this way. And then, of course, looking at myself, I have to learn to look beyond the upadhis. I look at myself and look beyond. Anything I get stuck in, I have to learn to see beyond it and not identify with. See beyond. Just one layer. It's there temporarily. Did I bring it here? No. Will it stay here? Yeah, I can maybe do something about it, but I can prolong or maintain things, body, mind, for just a certain amount of time. It's part of nature, right? I don't have full control over. So it'll come go. Some negative thought comes up. Oh, okay. Some upadhi, it'll go by too. If I get all caught up in it, it's the upadhi, it's not me. Won't catch me as much. It'll go by much easier. I start worrying about, why am I thinking like that? Oh, so much effort I put in. I'm doing yoga so many years, meditation. Why is it still coming up? Don't identify. I'm the witness. It's just upadhi. It'll go much easier like this. Much easier than not to. Then if I get caught up in it, I'm identifying. I'm the thought. I'm the one who's thinking it. I'm, you know, whole habit is me. No. So in this way, easier than to look beyond it like this. So it's important like this to look beyond it, to practice and learn how to do this. And then I'll say, well, how can I do? What do you mean? Well, the thing is, we do it regularly all the time anyway, right? Somebody brings you a gift, right? Do they have to tell you, look, the wrapping paper and the box are just the covering. What's inside is the main thing, right? They don't tell you this, right? You unwrap, you take the go, oh, thank you, that's what I always wanted. They'll go and you'll give it away in this, but you'll be very, you'll say thank you so much to them, so they'll feel good. But the thing is, what's inside is the important thing, and you know it like this, right? Or somebody's giving a talk, right? And they're very hoarse and they're coughing, you know, or they're not speaking clearly, you have to listen closely. Are you paying attention to their accent or how they pronounce or their sore voice? No, you're paying attention to the words, what they're saying, like this. The words and what the meaning of the words, that's what you're paying attention to. Not the others, just the upadhi. Some topic you're interested in, somebody's giving a talk and you don't care what accent they have, how, you know, how they're speaking, all those things, what type of voice they have, makes no difference. The essence is what you're listening to understand that. So we already are used to dropping the unessential and looking at the essential like this. So same way here, we have to learn to drop the unessential about myself and then stay with the essential like this. This is how it is on the individual, Atma and Atma Viveka, right? When I look at myself and I want to see myself. Now, in Vedanta, then of course, as we've already heard many times, we have to do what's called Tvampadashodhanam, Tvam in Tattvamasi, that thou art. Tvam is you, meaning I, the individual I. Clarifying, purifying this, meaning clarifying for myself this Driktisha Viveka, the difference between Atma and Anatma, between myself and not self, like this. So this is on the individual side. But then also we have to do Tatpada Shodhanam, for the Tatpada meaning for that thou art, for that, the totality. We also have to clarify there. So we also have to clarify my vision of how I see the whole world, right? And how I see the whole world would be then Brahmasarga Viveka. Here we did Atmanatma Viveka, discrimination between myself, the conscious being, and the upadhis. Now I have to do the same for the totality as well, meaning Brahmasarga between Brahman, right? The universal presence, what is the pure existence, and Sarga, and the creation, like this. And that's what here, in this verse itself, it said, right? Upeksha drishyam yad brahma. One has to drop the drishyam, what I see, and see that Brahman is there. Whatever I see, whatever I hear this, I have to see the Brahman behind, or see Ishvara, the God behind it, in this way. Just like I see the, right? Just like behind the, I know behind the wrapping paper, the essence, the gift is inside. Behind the way the person is speaking, the essence, the words, the meaning of that is there. Same way here, I have to see it in the totality in the same way. So this way, this is what I have to do. So one thing is I go outside here, and then I go and I see there's a beautiful flower in the garden. And then I smell, I say, oh, this is a rose, right? Very good. Now, what does it mean that it's a rose? Who said it's a rose, right? What do you mean by rose? Did the flower say, hello, good morning? I'm a rose, did you know that? It didn't say that, right? Flower didn't say anything. It was just standing there in the sun, didn't say anything. Just, just nature, just by nature as it is, without making any noise. We make so much noise to show what I am, who I am, what I am, why I am, what I want to become. We make so much noise like this. The flower doesn't. Only humans do this. Nature, nothing does it in nature. No animals do. The only animals will do that will be the ones that have been too close, have gotten spoiled by being too close to humans for too long, right? But in nature, they're just following, doing what, acting according to nature. So now, it didn't say. Did the eyes say this is a rose? Also, the eyes just see, right? They see this moment. The eyes just see this. The eyes are this. This is one thing about the senses. They're just present this moment. I can see this moment. Then it's gone. This moment. Only present. Very interesting. All the senses are present only this moment. They don't have a history. Just like the camera doesn't have a history. The film is saving it. Or now it's not the film. Now it's the memory card. Or, who knows? We have all these free accounts, and how much is stored everywhere. It's amazing. I don't know how they'll deal with it. This is one thing I think about a lot. When discussing in talks like this is, like, when I grew up, okay, there's a few pictures here and there. You take a picture once in a while because they have to be developed, right? It costs money, and you have to fill it. There's like 20 pictures in that roll or something. And then, so there are just a few pictures here and there from childhood. There must have been a few hundred maybe taken throughout childhood. Maybe there are a few dozen I have, and that's it, barely anything. But now kids that grow up, oh my God, how much. If they get to middle age and they say, let me just look at all the photos and videos I have of myself, the whole rest of their life they're going to have to watch in order to see it all. It's crazy. But in any case, so the camera, just like the camera, only this moment. Senses this moment. I see right now, that's it. So the eyes aren't saying it's a rose. The eyes are just seeing. They just see colors, forms, this moment. That's it. So who said it's a rose? The awareness doesn't say it's a rose. The awareness is just aware. Whatever's there, it's aware. Just like the light of the sun. Just shows everything. the flash, you have the flash from the camera. It's also not storing anything, it just is showing, right? So who is guilty? Who is guilty then? You know, we're doing our detective work. Who's guilty is the mind. The mind will say, this is a rose. Somebody will say, no, it's this and this a flower. No, I know it's a rose. So you say, now it's a rose. So meaning, this moment I'm here present, it rose, some definition from some past, it's not from this moment. The mind is coming and putting an idea in the present. And then once it puts idea in the present, then you can't just be with the present, you're being with your ideas from the past. Your idea from the past now is covering the present moment. So now, just what I see this moment isn't the problem. The upadhi is coming from my own mind. My own mind is covering up the present and limiting it like this. Because now I'll say this rose, and it's this very special bush that I planted in my garden. It was hard to get. I purchased it in this place. And the plant almost died 2 years ago, and I really nourished it. Now it's back. And we really love the flowers very much. We take them for puja and everything. And I give this kind of soil in this, and it's very hard to find. My neighbor's flowers are nothing like this. But my friend that lives, you know, the other town, his is so much better. He really is a green thumb like this. This whole thing. And I'm really jealous of that person. But my neighbor here is good for nothing, doesn't know gardening. So nothing like my rose like this. And there's a big storm coming. I'm so scared. What'll happen to my rose plant like that? So then, you know, very valuable to me. That other flower I don't care for too much. You can pull it out if you want, take it. I don't care for that plant. And this is just for, you know, this is a small thing, but imagine it's something much bigger, and that I take is much bigger. The noise is coming from my own mind, right? Creating the mountain out of the moles, my own mind is doing it, right? My own mind does it like this. So this, you know, this is, I say, this is a rose. This is present. This is, right here, present. Whatever is present. Then a rose is coming from my mind, my memory. I'm putting that over the present in this way. And then all my ideas are coming and covering up all the present. And again, with the some flower or something, it probably, unless somebody is, you know, as I mentioned, this plant is so important for me or something like that, okay, then. But most of the time that doesn't make a big difference, but just it's the example for how I look at the world in general. I put my ideas on it. And okay, for getting along the world, yes, we have a hara for doing what I need to. Yes, I have to understand in everything. But I take it as substantial instead of just as, you know, part of the movie, part of it like this. I take it as the essence, where it's not the essence. Because it's coming from my mind, from my past. This present, where is all the past? Where is it? All the past is in my own mind. It's not experiential. My ideas are coming onto this present moment. Because they say rose, but then, you know, you see that person, oh, I like very much, very dear to me, or this person is horrible, I don't want to see in this. Where's that coming from? From my own idea from the past in this. So all this I'm putting onto it. Like somebody I know, they once were hurt very much by certain people, so people from that background has a negative idea towards still today. Again, you know, it's some trauma that's not easy to look in better, or at least one has to put effort to look beyond it. Because just because somebody belongs to a certain group, now I'm going to think like that about the group like this, right? Then I have to look, if I want to free myself, I want to be free, I have to look beyond all these conditionings I have. Otherwise, I'll be bound by my conditionings constantly like this. So then one thing is, when I look, just, you know, as a practice, I look, try to look at some things. Very easy, take something in nature like that, like the flower, like the hill, like the tree, and just look at it fresh without adding anything to it. That's the easiest. The easiest is just like that, because something inanimate, something is nature, without bringing all my ideas before. Oh, it's very beautiful in this. I really like how the tree is. No, I see the tree as it is now, like this. I see as it is now, right? Without adding all these things. Without, I want to, oh, let me, I really want to take a cutting of it and keep it in because it would be a nice fragrance, very beautiful in my house, like this. Not thinking like this because utility, just think just as it is now seeing, like this. So that's one thing we can do to practice. But then, bigger thing is, as mentioned, is we interact with people, and that's where I put all my ideas, like this. I put all my ideas that I, you know, like here, Zoom, we have little boxes, right? So I stuff everybody into boxes. I'll stuff all of you guys into the box of the people I like very much, very dear. Some other people I'll stuff into the boxes, these guys, that people I don't care about, the good for nothing. These ones are, those are very bad, I don't want to associate with, like this. I'll stuff them into there. Now, again, when I deal with the world, I have to deal with it in a practical way, meaning I walk and there's a dog that comes up to me and I pet, okay. Then I see there's a snake coming by, okay. I'll have this, see, it's the same life behind it, but I'll keep a distance because I don't want to be bitten, and it's not, you know. So one does interacts with the world in a practical way, but through this vision understanding, like this. Because the practical thing is just for the day-to-day, but it's not the essence. Just like, you know, red or green light, oh, it doesn't mean anything, it's the same. Yeah, but for a practical purpose, I'll go when it's green, I'll go, and it's red, I'll stop for practical. I know it's not essence, it's just for practical purposes. So it's not the essential in this way, I have to see it. So, yeah, that's why we interact with the world as appropriate, but then with understanding, the vision, seeing, you know, beyond just the limitation. Because the more I see beyond the limitation, the more I'm free. If I don't see any limitation, anything, I'm totally free, like this. And when I look beyond all the limitations, I just see the one, you know, one way to do this also is I see the one, I say there's one Ishvara, the one God behind everything. That's really great. The more I practice that, the more anything that comes, when the same God's behind that. Some problem comes, yes, same God behind that. Some wonderful thing comes, same God behind that. Then you're flat, as though everything becomes flattened. Instead of three-dimensional, flattened. There's just one thing behind. Like that. Whatever there, one thing behind. One thing behind, like this. So this way, I will just, if one puts this, and one has to put effort. Because my view of how I see things is the habits that I've developed over time. I want to change it. I have to put an effort like this. An effort, you know, this upasana, there's the one God behind all. Then that's upasana, I put effort into it. And then slowly, slowly, I drop the labels. When I see people, I try to drop the labels. I notice I'm getting caught up in some label. I pay attention. I try to drop it. The mind out of habit will pull it up. Or the mind will resist, want to hold on. No, 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 that person really didn't behave well last time. You know, I drop it. I kind of try to drop these things. And actually, your attitude towards people really changes so much. How your attitude is towards people really changes situations so much anyway. So if I hold those ideas of negativity, it will help to keep the more tense situation more negative. The more I drop them and just see equally, just try to see there's the one Atma behind, the more it just everything flows much more smoother, easier anyway, like this. So it's the less I have rigidity, enmity, and all these things, the less that will come around anyway when I'm around. So then this thing, dropping the labels from my own mind, how I not putting these ideas on the people and everything, seeing there's the one consciousness behind, then slowly, slowly makes it easier. And then, as I said, I free myself because those are my ideas that I'm bound by, like this. This is what happens. So in this way, then both we see how I'm looking at the world, the one sat, one presence is in and through behind everything. I see it that way. And I see myself also, I drop the limited ideas of myself. I'm conscious, I'm aware. Everything else is just secondary upadhi. I have to look beyond these things. Everything else is just, I'm aware of it. So I'm aware of it, that's not me. Like this. What I'm aware of is not me. And I'm present this moment. All the details, they're just the covering for the one presence that's there in this way. So this is how we unravel and, you know, drop, look beyond the upadhis, not get caught up in them. Because, you know, because again, look at it. The more you're present this moment, where's the limitation? When you're really present this moment, where's the limitation? But when, you know, and this is interesting, people want to go somewhere, get to something to get to the infinite, do something. Think they'll die, they'll go somewhere, go to the infinite. But it's this moment. And one interesting thing that, you know, that how I see it is a lot of the times in calculations, science, as it goes to zero, when it gets closer to zero, the whole thing kind of blows up, goes to infinite in certain calculations. So the more you hone in to be present this moment, the more it goes to infinite, same way. Because when you're just this moment, where's the limitation? It's infinite. I don't have to go to somewhere, because infinite is present this moment. But when I expand and I add past and looking to future and all this, I'm adding and then it's limited. But the more just this moment, when just this moment, where's the limitation? So that's one of the secrets, present this moment then. So I'm present, and how I do it is I'm bringing my ideas and putting onto the present moment. I'm covering it. The covering is the upadhi, because it doesn't really have a substance, the ideas I'm covering it with. I think they have a substance, but I'm taking my ideas and throwing on them. If I don't throw my ideas on, then it's okay. Where's the limitation? Where's the issue? So this is how it is. So this is how Vedanta is pointing this out. And again, it's something that a lot of these things very simple and practical like this. It's just we have to look into. We have to put in effort, because if I take these ideas and I ponder on them and I just try, you know, to be aware of them in day-to-day life, be attentive to see things in this, time again see things like this, then slowly this whole limited view of things unravels. But I have to put in the effort, right? Nobody else can do it for me like this. So this is the beauty of it, that anybody can learn to see in this way. It's just a matter of putting in the effort, a little understanding, and putting in the effort to see like that. So let's finish with that today. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So any doubts or questions? We can discuss a few minutes if anybody has. Mm-hmm. So I have one question actually, is when we start the next course beginning of next year, well, first of all, most probably we'll do the Diksha Viveka, which is very nice. It'll take a few months, 4 months or so. Very, very nice text. It's one of the best texts for studying Vedanta. Very, very beautiful. So from all those attended today, are you planning to cut like January through April, something like this? Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I'll put you down for it. And then question I have about it is if we do the, oh, very nice. Miguel has this thing. So, if we do it at 7 p.m. our time instead of 6, does that make a difference for people? Is it better or not? I'll send an email just to query to see for people, because I know that some people that were coming before with work, it was easier for them. But I don't know if it makes a difference. Does it make a difference for anybody or this?
You know, I hope so. I like, you know, whatever works for people, it works, since I don't work every day. If it's easier for other people, for most, you know, more people at 7, then I'm good with that.
I mean, for me, it just means I'll eat dinner earlier versus later, so.
That'd be for me too. Actually, that'll be for me. Yeah.
I think
So.
that would be better for me as well, actually. It'd be
Okay.
easier.
Okay, good, good, because that's what some people told me. So when I send out the email to the people, other people who've been coming to Thursday class before, I'll also mention this and just see what the feedback is. Because the reason we didn't change to 7 at the time, like a year or more ago, Sasi Devi was joining from the East Coast. And then if I changed the time, she couldn't come, so I felt bad. But she's not coming now anyway, and I spoke to her when I was in the ashram in Pennsylvania, because she was there, and she said, no, right now, not working out, she's not coming. I said, you know, so then there's no reason to keep the time for her. It's okay. Okay, good. So most probably will change, but let's see. Let's first see. I'll send an email, see who's planning to come, and then accordingly we'll see. But most probably, unless makes a world of a difference to others, it seems that it would be Miguel better, and one or two other people said, so we'll probably do it then. Very good.